Our scripture reading this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, and then verses 2 through 4 of chapter 7. Have you ever poured your heart out to someone else over and over and then had them in cold rejection push you away? Paul, the theologian, is pouring out his heart to the Corinthian believers consistently as not just the one who is communicating truth, but through his very person, pouring out his heart to his fellow believers. He was expressing his love freely and without restraint to his dear friends in Corinth. I want to read just a few phrases from this letter. It's helpful when you preach on a particular portion of a book of the Bible to maybe read through the whole book, which I decided to do in preparation for today, and sort of paying attention to, does Paul pour his heart out to these folks? And where are some of the places that he says he's doing this that we might note? So I'm not going to give you all the references right now. If you want that later, I have that. But these are some of the things that Paul, in this letter, was communicating to the Corinthians. That he despaired even of life. That he wrote out of great distress and anguish of heart with many tears. That he and those with him were hard-pressed, they were perplexed, they were persecuted, they were struck down, they carried around in their bodies the death of Christ. They groaned. They were burdened. They listed several things, including being sorrowful while still rejoicing. There was deep sorrow. There was the recognition that he had hurt them in a way that brought sorrow to them that led to their repentance. He spoke of his brother Titus and his affection for the Corinthians. He says in chapter 11, verse 11, God knows I love you. Almost write a song about that, couldn't we? That he was boasting of things that showed his weakness, that God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being conceited. And there was he was concerned. He had fear for them that there would be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, and arrogance. These are just some of the things that Paul is saying in this letter, not to mention the two portions that we're going to read now. Paul is clearly revealing the depth of his own heart and making it clear that he was opening wide his heart to them. So hear now from chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, and then 7, 2 to 4. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as to children. Widen your hearts also. Then in chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort in all our affliction. I am overflowing with joy. Pray with me. Father, as we think upon these portions of Paul's letter to second letter to the Corinthians, we pray that your Spirit would give us fresh eyes to see and to understand what you are saying here to your people in the past and to us even today. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would shine your light upon these words of Scripture, and that you would shine your light into our hearts and minds as we receive them and respond to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I think often in the Christian life, it's been my experience that there are times when it's clear that I'm to extend affection and love toward people, sometimes people that are hard to love, sometimes people that, if I do that, it may take up a lot of my time, lots and lots of opportunities in ministry, to open my heart with affection to someone else, and I pull back. And in so doing, in the closing off of my heart, or as we close off our hearts to one another, I think we quench God's ministry of reconciliation in our midst. And the call in these passages that are reflected in the Apostle Paul, and I'll be looking at a couple of other portions in and around chapter 6 and 7. We see, first of all, that the pattern for Paul's call, really, to repentance of the Corinthian believers, to repent of their closed-off hearts toward him, of their cold-heartedness toward him, that the pattern that we see and the power that we need to do this is actually found in chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, where we see God's heart open wide to us as his people. Here, verses 17 to 21, familiar passage, but the context of what Paul is saying. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of God, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul is not admonishing these believers in Corinth to have wide open hearts toward him so that they could just sort of feel good about, don't we really have a nice close relationship? Paul's passion here is for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is pictured and accomplished in God's wide open heart to us in his Son Jesus. And as Paul describes what God has done for us in Christ, he keeps connecting that already to us being the ones who have the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. The horizontal is immediately in view as Paul is describing what God has done for us in Christ. It's, once again, the indicative empowers and models and propels us forward to the imperative of having wide open hearts toward one another. There can be no ministry of reconciliation if our hearts are closed off toward each other. God's open heart and love of grace to us comes not when we were being responsive to him, but as Paul says elsewhere, while we were still his enemies, when we hated him, when we were cold-hearted toward him. And even as reconciled sinners, we have tendency to those very things in the daily struggle that we have with remaining sin. But God keeps pursuing with strength, with perseverance, and with intensity in your life and mine every day, with a wide open heart toward us, a heart of love, a heart of grace. And so we're called then to respond to God's open heart to us as we relate to one another. One of the churches that I pastored There was a very difficult couple in the church. There were more than one, but one in particular, that were just very, very hard to love and to care for. Mainly because they spent most of their time trying to undermine the ministry that I was trying to accomplish in the life of the church. So much so that at one particular point in time, after they'd been in the church about 4 years, and we had put them in places of leadership in the church, I think unwisely in hindsight, they tried to have a session meeting called without me knowing about it so that they could lay out their case before the session, all the harm that I had done to them. And wisely, the clerk of session decided that I should be invited to the meeting. It was not an easy meeting to be present at. And I was convinced that the most important thing that I needed to do at that meeting was not say anything. And so as charge after charge after charge over the 4 year history of our relationship, many of things I never even knew had happened or that they even thought had happened, I just found myself struggling with my heart toward them, which I constantly was struggling to have open, was closing and closing and being filled with sort of hatred. And I wanted to figure out ways to defend myself and to bring retaliation back to them, because I had answers to every charge and countercharges to everything that they had done against me. And one of the hardest things in my entire life, where I had to depend upon and trust God more than perhaps almost anything else, was to be quiet and to pray that God would give me a heart of love for these accusers. It was an amazingly difficult task that only by God's grace did I keep my mouth shut. And I had to trust that God would work through the other elders who were there. But I wasn't sure that they knew my case well enough. What if they believed these things? But over the course of the next year, before we accepted the call to come out here, there were multiple attempts to try to connect with this couple that Beth and I were engaged in. None of which were easy. None of which, there's no real wonderful, happy ending to this story, except that I believe God certainly was maturing and growing Beth and me through the process of continually holding out to us, here's how I have loved you, you stubborn, cold-hearted, adopted son of mine. You are to love as you've been loved. And that was the message that we took away from that. There was a measure of reconciliation, but I have to tell you that there are... Beth and I can't have a conversation very long about this couple without moving quickly towards sin. And when we do, we have to be reminded that God loves them and gave his son for them. And we're to stand with as open a heart, open of hearts as we can toward them. And I think that's what Paul is after in 6:11-13 and 7:2-4. Paul is full of love for the Corinthian church, even though they're not loving him back, even though they're accusing him of all kinds of things. And he cries out to them, "O Corinthians." It's only one of three times that Paul does this in his letters, where he is pursuing with this phrase, where he's calling them in what really is a term of endearment. And he's disclosing to them about himself and how he has loved them and how his heart is wide open to them. And he's keeping his heart wide open to them. It's an ongoing posture that Paul has toward these who are cold toward him. And he's passionate about their understanding and getting the gospel of God's reconciling love in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look back in chapter 5 at verse 12, He says, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. And then in verse 14, the love of Christ controls, or other translations say compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. It's a gospel centered plea to have open heartedness toward one another, so the ministry of reconciliation can take place. Paul knew their shortcomings. Paul felt their coldness, yet he kept loving them and urging them to love him back. When we're faced with that kind of challenge, and it could be from a spouse, it could be from a parent, it could be from a child, it could be from a fellow co-laborer on a ministry staff, it could be from a roommate, it could be from people that God seems to keep putting in our paths that we would prefer not to have in our paths. But they're there. Where is the first place of the ministry of reconciliation? It's to those that are right there around us every day. And how do we keep loving? How do we keep our hearts open towards someone who is stomping all over our heart when it's open? When we're out there, when we're vulnerable, when we're making a plea to them to love in like manner as Paul does here. Do we step toward those people, or do we avoid them and step away from them? Ministry of reconciliation with people that are hard to love doesn't happen. If it's Scott and me, ministry of reconciliation doesn't happen when I see Scott and I go like this. Okay? It's not going to happen. There needs to be, I think, and we'll talk about that in a moment, maybe a cautious stepping toward, and there's some reasons maybe for that in the history of our relationship, but it's a step toward with an open heart and seeing what God does in the situation. The church that I pastored before I came to Covenant Seminary, I followed a pastor who was dearly loved, whom the people didn't want to leave, and he told them he wasn't going to leave. He had wrestled whether or not to leave, and God had led him to stay, and 6 months later he left. And I walked into that situation with at least a handful of people who I think had determined to be closed-hearted toward their next pastor because of the hurt they'd experienced from their previous pastor. And those folks were very hard to step toward. When it's hard to step toward somebody who's going like this all the time. Okay? And I think there's a certain kind of open-heartedness toward people who keep going like this, that you don't just sort of rush in and get beat up, but you don't turn and run the other way. I think that's the point. Paul is standing here with open heart, saying, open your hearts to us in that context. Don't respond to people who keep you at arm's length, and sometimes they don't do it literally. They do it in subtle ways that you're not sure whether they're doing that or not. But the response to someone who's going like this, literally or figuratively, I think is to open your heart and take a step toward. Ministry of reconciliation is God's work. Remembering what he's done to reconcile us, and then being willing to be that minister of reconciliation. This is not just the job of teaching elders. This is the job of the whole body of Christ. This is the place where the gospel needs to work most powerfully in a community of people, at that place of brokenness, and are stepping into it, trusting God and having our heart open. Now, that's difficult, but Paul doesn't back away from it. He talks about some things in between the two passages that I read that I'll come to in just a moment, but he's saying, make room in your hearts. Make room in your hearts for us. I mean, he's exhorting. He's calling. He's saying, we have such a place in our hearts for you. We would die for you. Can you make a little room in our hearts for your hearts for us? Now, why is he so passionate about this? I think it's because he recognizes that the work of the gospel goes forward in direct connection to the reconciled relationships of the people of God with each other in a particular place where the body of Christ is being given expression. We can't take the gospel forward and leave everyone else behind. There's a need for us together as a body of believers, reconciled to one another in light of God's reconciling love in Christ, taking that message forward. Now, how do we do that? Some of you are sitting here thinking of people who have harmed you in some ways that you wouldn't even want to have to try to describe, and maybe you struggled to do that and had some help in doing that. How do you step toward people who have harmed you deeply in painful ways? People who are not safe to step toward. And there are even people in the body of Christ. Plenty of people in the body of Christ that we've been hurt by that aren't very safe to step towards. It seems to me the call to open our hearts wide has a certain risk that's connected to it. And yet, a risk that must be exercised with wisdom. There's a lot of talk about boundaries, and it took me most of my life, and it's still taking my life now, to figure out that boundaries can be a good thing, that can be honoring to God and appropriate to relationships. That's been a very hard lesson, and I still haven't learned it. But sometimes we can set boundaries at places where, let's just assume Scott's here in the front row for me, okay? That he's harmed me in some really damaging ways in the past. He's a brother in Christ, and I'm going to step toward him and not run away from him, but I'm going to stand about this far away from him. Okay? I'm not going to run up and hug Scott. I'm going to stand here and see what God might be doing in Scott's heart, remembering what God has done in my heart. And if I don't think that, I'm not going to step toward him. And then I pray like crazy and say, Lord, is Scott in a place where we can be reconciled? And I'm trying by your grace to have a heart open enough to step this close to him. So it's a risk to go like this and not run away. But it's wise to come this far and perhaps no farther until the Lord sort of gives indicators to move closer. So I think we have to, and that's not something there's a formula for. Okay? And yet I think it's something that it's a posture of heart in light of what God has done in our lives, where we're asking him to work and then waiting on him to see how he works, how he may not yet work, and to trust him as we do that. I think the picture in closing that I'd like for us to look at is found in the 6th chapter, verses 16b and 18. Not only is God's heart wide open to us, not only are we called to open our hearts to one another, but here we see an open-hearted family of God's people with God walking in the midst of them. Look at verse 16b. We are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then in verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. To go back to the illustration of stepping towards Scott, the confidence I can have as I step toward him is that God is walking and living and dwelling in the midst of his people. And so the walking up to him or him walking up to me to pursue reconciliation is something that it's the one who's in our midst orchestrates as he walks among us and directs us toward each other with open-hearted, repentant hearts and open-hearted, forgiving hearts. but open hearts that are willing, like Paul, to actually name things. That this person's not very good at doing. And some of you know enough about my recent story with some extended family members where I thought I was ministering the love of Christ by passively avoiding for years and years and years and years. And God called me to step toward and to speak truth and to trust God and to wait for Him to work. And again, I wish I could stand up here and tell you, you know, those wonderful closing wraparound stories that we all go out and say, all is well because this hard thing that Mark had with this couple or this extended family member or those people that didn't like him because they liked the other pastor. You know, can't you sort of wrap this up in a nice bow and say, you know, all will be well with you? Well, actually, this is one of those sermons where every one of those situations, as painful as they are, though there's measure of progress in everyone by the grace of God, there's still lots that's unresolved. And so I think the call of the gospel is to keep an open heart toward the people of God around me and to keep walking toward one another, asking God who walks in our midst to connect us, to bring reconciliation as we're part of the same family together who are in community at Covenant Seminary. God has orchestrated who's here right now. And you know, we've got admission staff and some come and go and those sorts of things. But those who are here are the people that God is walking in our midst and we're called to extend open hearts to one another. What does that look like at Covenant Seminary as we go forward, remembering that God has opened His heart to us? And it's in that strength and that power and that grace that we turn toward others with open hearts. Father, we thank You for what You have done for us in Christ. We thank You that while we were enemies, You loved us, and our stubborn, hard-hearted coldness toward You continues to be met with a heart of love that's wide open, exhorting, calling to repentance, but full of love. Father, may we learn what it means to turn toward one another with that same heart, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.